Time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CISA, the local hero folks, and Cheryl Maffey from Hungry Ghost Bakery in Northampton, which, among other things, creates the giant roll for the giant Monty's Python that we always slice and dice for the Cancer Connection campout and becomes like a certainly a culinary highlight of that otherwise horrible event where I have to camp out in the cold, but for a very good cause. And I'm with Cheryl Maffey, who is one of the folks behind the Hungry Ghost Bakery, and you have brought stuff to tempt me with. How dare you? What do we have here?
So we'll start with the bread. I brought a country loaf today, which is made with mostly white flour and about 20% rye. And that rye comes from Four Star Farms in Northfield, as does about 1,000 pounds of flour a week.
Wow.
And also sitting next to it is the double wheat, which is all whole wheat.
Really good.
And it has sprouted wheat berries in it for a little bit of texture. This is naturally leavened sourdough. Whatever you're eating with sourdough, the absorption of the vitamins and minerals and all of those great proteins is better.
What's interesting, Cheryl, from Hungry Ghost is that because of the Hungry Ghost in large part and your Little Red Hen project, we in the Valley are growing wheat all of a sudden over the last few years. How did that happen, and why weren't we growing wheat before?
Why weren't we growing wheat before is because we were under the impression that this was not a climate in which wheat could grow. However, when you look at the history of it, this was considered the breadbasket of the United States.
Before we get another breadbasket.
Yeah, before World War II, there was wheat here. And yes, it is a challenge to grow wheat. Economically, when you grow a square foot of vegetables, the price you get for that is certainly much higher than when you grow a square foot of grain. And when you talk about the price of real estate in the Valley or really anywhere, it's got to be viable and sustainable.
Right. But that's happening now. Like
that's
all
happening.
Of the things that you brought
that's
here,
happening.
Including the pastries, which we haven't even talked about yet, have some sort of local wheat element to it, something that did not exist five
Absolutely.
Years ago.
Absolutely. 5 years ago, we were wanting to do this, and it was inspired by the fact that our wheat was all grown in North Dakota, trucked to North Carolina, trucked to our distributor, and then to us. Mm-hmm. And it's organic. Come on. You know, yes,
right.
It might be grown organically, but the footprint of it was huge. So we started investigating and found out that, yes, indeed, we could grow wheat here. There's tens of thousands of varieties of wheat. They're not all suited for this region, such as semolina wheat, for example.
We can't have a big spaghetti harvest like that BBC report that I heard about.
Spaghetti cultivation here in Switzerland is not, of course, carried out on anything like the tremendous scale of the Italian industry.
You could do it with other kinds of wheat, but semolina, hard durum, really needs dry, kind of desert-like environment. So that's kind of hard to grow. It's also difficult to grow spring wheat in this region because our winters can be a little bit longer than they're supposed to be, a little bit wetter, et cetera, and the weeds get the jump on it. It's pretty hard to do that. So if you plant it in the fall,
now,
which is already coming up on our front lawn, the little patches that we plant every year at the bread festival, and now it looks like, you know, we should mow our lawn or something.
Right.
But it's wheat. It's already coming up. It's already got the jump on the weeds come the spring. So that's much more successful.
And then that wheat will be reaped in July, and it will go into all of the things that we've got here.
You often don't walk into a bakery and have them know, A, there are farmers in the area, B, the growing cycles of different kinds of wheat and other grains, and C, that they were an inspiration in so many different ways, financially and creatively, to bring people's attention to the fact we can grow certain kinds of local grain. We could cut down the risks for local farmers to do some experiments with different grain. And by lowering those risks, we had some farmers step up to actually work with the local artisan bakeries to pull this off.
Cheryl Maffey from The Hungry Ghost, who is largely responsible for the renaissance of wheat here in the Valley, and Phil Corman from CISA, the local hero folks. You have brought some pastries from The Hungry Ghost that's made with local wheat. Which
amazing.
One should I definitely not try to resist?
I would not resist. You're making me choose.
There's five of them here.
I don't have to choose. That's your
problem.
Sophie's
choice. My problem, but you're going to eat one. Which one is it?
If I were going to eat one now, I would eat that muffin now because it's local wheat and it's Side Hill Farm yogurt.
What else do we have there, though?
Buttermilk biscuits, which have local wheat in them, and those berry bars, also the fig bars, have local wheat.
So every single day of the year, you're doing this, multiple kinds of breads, incredibly freshly baked, 24-hour fermentation, and then dessert and pastries.
Tough life.
You could have that after the pizza.
Cheryl Maffey from Hungry Ghost in Northampton. Phil Corman from CISA, the local hero. Folks, CISA presenting a movie at the Amherst Cinema this Tuesday. Not bread-related, but honey-related. More Than Honey, about colony collapse disorder. You can find out more about that at buylocalfood.org.